I purchased a practice about a year ago where it had five, six insurances, and I was able to drop out of those insurances. And now we are fully fee-for-service practice and doing a lot of aesthetic works. And it's just, I think mentoring, having somebody who mentors you at the beginning of your career is one of the biggest things that helped me.
Welcome to the Phil Klein Dental Podcast. On today's episode, we're talking with an inspiring young dentist whose story is nothing short of amazing. Meet Dr. Luis Abrante. He came to the U.S. from Cuba at just 18 years old, not knowing a word of English. Fast forward to age 31, and he's already paid off his dental school loans, bought his own practice, and turned it into a fully digital, high-end aesthetic dentistry hub. In just 1 year, Dr. Abrante has equipped his office with cutting-edge scanners, printers, and milling machines, giving him total control over the beautiful aesthetic results he's known for. And here's the kicker. He's also dropped all five insurance plans that came with the practice and gone completely fee-for-service. We'll dig into how mentorship helped shape his career, the key decisions that fueled his success, and the go-to materials and adhesive systems he relies on every day. Dr. Abrante practices in Mountain Brook, Alabama. A 2022 UAB graduate, he's already published and lectured on topics like anterior implant aesthetics and material selection. He's one of only three Alabama members of the American Society for Dental Aesthetics, and he's quickly earning statewide recognition for his artistry in aesthetic dentistry. He's becoming a regular contributor to VivaLearning.com. In fact, check out his webinar that he gave on March 18th, 2025. It's titled Managing Anterior Implant Aesthetics, Technique for Immediate Placement. So I hope by the end of this interview, you agree with me that this episode is all about courage, vision, and the power of mentorship in building the next generation of dental leaders. Before we bring in our guest, I do want to say that if you're enjoying these episodes and want to support the show, please follow us on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. You'll be the first to know about our new releases, and our entire production team will really appreciate it. Dr. Abrante, it's great to have you on the show.
Hey, pleasure to be here.
This is really an inspiring story. You've only been out of dental school for about 3 years at this point, yet you've already built a fee-for-service practice. You have a practice that's fully digital, and you've developed a solid reputation for aesthetic dentistry. So you're building your patients of record quite quickly, and they're learning about you, and they're happy to say yes to your treatment plans. But you've just been out of school 3 years. So tell us how you did this so fast.
Yes, Phil, that's actually, I've been blessed. It's been a very nice path for me. And one of the things that I did, and it kind of happened, I wasn't planning it that way. I think it just happened to be that way. I was very lucky and blessed to have a great mentor. As soon as I got out of school, 3 months after, I found a job with Dr. Thomas Dudney. He's a well-renowned dentist. He's does a lot of aesthetic work and a lot of full mouth reconstructions. And I happened to be with him, and we got together and worked with him for about 2 years until he helped me out in this journey. And I was able to find my own practice. And now I purchased a practice about a year ago where it had five, six insurances, and I was able to drop out of those insurances. And now we are fully fee-for-service practice and doing a lot of aesthetic works. And it's just, I think mentoring, having somebody who mentors you at the beginning of your career is one of the biggest things that helped me.
Yeah, and I've heard that before. I think that's 100% true. I recently just did a podcast episode with a doctor who works out of New York City, Manhattan, and he has his own lab in his office. And his mentor told him right out of dental school, if you're going to work in Manhattan, New York City, get your own laboratory, get a top-notch lab person, and you'll be off to the races doing the kind of aesthetic work you want to do. And he's never looked back. He's always had a lab, and he's also always been fee-for-service, never accepted insurance. My question to you is, as a young dentist who just bought a practice, how did you rid yourself of the encumbrances of third-party payments as dental insurance that quickly? We all know that part and parcel of a new practice is lots of bills to pay, and those patients with insurance would help pay those bills.
Well, it was definitely hard for me, I am in Alabama. There's unfortunately, it's not like, for example, like Beverly Hills or New York, some place where where you can probably people are more can accept aesthetic work easier, I guess, for lack of a better word. And in the type of dentistry that I do, which is mainly aesthetic and veneers, implants, it's kind of hard. It was definitely hard. So at the minute that I dropped out of those insurance, that I did have a dip in production and a dip in for sure in patient inflow to the practice. But I just stuck to my guns and I said, well, this is the way we're gonna do it. We're gonna do good dentistry. If I wanna pay for my lab technician here, the price it cost me to do this particular restoration is pretty much what the insurance is going to reimburse me. And I think that was when I started saying that, I think a lot of patients understood where I was coming from. And I actually show sometimes the prices that I was paying for some of the lab bills. And I said, here, this is what the insurance pays. This is how much I have to pay the lab technician. Do you want this restoration that is going to cost me this much and accept your insurance? Or would you rather have this other restoration done by this particular person that is going to be a lot superior, and I can guarantee you it's going to be a lot more aesthetic? And because I had a little bit of a record and had some cases that I was documenting in those 2 years that I worked with Dudney, it was very easy for me to show these cases. This is what I have done so far, and I had maybe an array of maybe 20, 25 cases of veneers and my little books and say, hey, take a look at this. This is what I have done so far. Yeah. Is what you want to do.
So you were getting high case acceptance based on your approach, which makes a lot of sense. You were giving them options and say, we can go the cheap way or go the expensive, right, more expensive way. But we're talking about your oral health. We're talking about longevity of these restorations and aesthetic strength and everything else. And for the most part, the patients that said yes are the patients you were looking to keep. The patients that said no may not be a right fit for those patients in your practice. Now, did they look at you as like a young guy? Like,
Definitely. Still get that all the time.
So, how do you handle that?
It's still hard to handle. I think a lot. I'm still building the practice. The practice is not. I got it out of 2 days a week. We're now at a 4 days a week practice, and we're thriving. We've done a couple of Saturdays. That is definitely a challenge that I'm still trying to overcome. But the word's getting around. The word's getting around, and I think patients are seeing the work, and it's just something that I think time is going to tell.
Yeah. So word of mouth is so important. Now, you're fully digital. Did you buy the practice with all the digital gadgets in there, and you had digital workflows set up when you bought it, or you had to buy this after you purchased the practice?
I had to buy it right after purchased the practice.
Wow. So where'd you get all this expenses. Money from? A debt? You just
debt? Yeah, I had to definitely.
All right. So you borrowed the money, right?
I borrowed the money. Yes.
Right.
Sir.
But what about dental school loans? You have that too.
Well, I worked for almost 7 days a week first 2 years, and I paid all my loans before I bought the practice.
All right. So you were debt-free on dental school before you purchased the practice.
That's what the way I did.
Wow. So you are a very motivated type A kind of guy, I guess. You don't mess around. You're not waiting for it. I mean, it's an amazing story that you're only, how old are you?
I'm 31, just turned 21, 31 about a week ago.
31. Okay. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
So 31 years old, you're doing advanced aesthetic cases with implants. Anterior implant aesthetics is really you're focusing on too. And I guess you have enough people in your area in Alabama that are willing to say yes to high-end aesthetic dentistry, which includes implants, and are willing to pay for it out of their pocket.
That is correct. And a lot has, I get a lot of referrals from colleagues, I guess, and friends of mine that are, at least I can think of three or four people, dentists that refer me cases that they've seen the articles that I have published, and they've been to a couple of my lectures, and they, when they get an anterior case, and I'm very blessed that I have gotten referrals from other dentists at a very young age.
Yeah,
here
for sure. Now, how did you gravitate towards dentistry? Do you have a dentist in your family?
I do not have a dentist. I'm actually from Cuba. I came here when I was 18 years old.
So
that's kind of, you may feel the accent right there.
Did you speak English when you got here at 18?
I did not. I did
so
not.
So you learned English in the last, what are we talking about, 13 years you've been here?
I've been here 2012, 13 years.
Yeah, so 13 years, you learned English, got into dental school, excelled, I guess. You did pretty well in dental school, I assume, for you to be that aggressive with buying a practice, turning it into a digital practice. How did you learn all about the digital stuff that you need? Did you get that from dental school or your mentor?
Well, both, kind of both. I went to UAB University of Alabama, Birmingham, and I had great mentors there as well. And I felt very, very good right after I graduated. But the biggest thing was when I started working with Thomas Dudney, because he's the one that definitely influenced me the most in buying all this new equipment and getting
digital. What did he tell you as a young dentist that got you to do all this? Did he say that any limitations are basically self-imposed and you shouldn't be holding yourself back from doing anything you want to do? Was it a kind of a motivational mentorship? Was it spiritual? Was it clinical, or all of the above?
I think it's all of the above. And he happens to also be a speaker. He teaches in several dental institutions and meetings worldwide, actually.
Yeah, he's well known. I know that. Yeah. I know Dr. Dudney's name. Yeah, I don't think I've interviewed him on this podcast, but he's done some webinars for Viva Learning, I'm pretty sure.
Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Pretty much, because I think the teaching component of it definitely helped there, because he was always very willing to teach me and introduce me to stuff. And when I was ready to buy my practice, he guided me all throughout the process and say, okay, let's do this, let's not do that, and let's just find this particular area of town that I know for sure is going to be a lot better for you, because I'm in an area of town that is also, it's a lot easier to accept treatment than other areas.
There's no question the mentor part of it, the component for a young dentist to get started, is so critical. And that's,
I couldn't have done it so fast without him.
So you're big into anterior aesthetics and you do some anterior implant aesthetics. What do you consider the most critical factors in treatment planning and execution for anterior implant aesthetics?
Well, one of the most critical factors for anterior implant aesthetics is the way you handle the tissue. Tissue management is key. It's the key of how you handle these cases, especially if you're trying to do immediate implants. The way you extract the tooth, treatment planning, the way you approach that extraction, how you take that tooth out, how you handle the implant placement, all of that. I think the preparation is more important than the actual putting the implant in. Putting the implant in, if you know where to put the implant in the bone, is fine. The key is how do you handle that tissue, and then how do you handle that temporary that forms the tissue, and you don't collapse the papilla after, and then you don't end up with what we call black triangles in the area. So planning and tissue management is definitely the most important factor in handling those cases, for sure.
Yeah. Now, veneers, you're doing indirect veneers, right?
Mm-hmm. I do.
And you send this out to a lab, you use a digital scanner, and do they do a digital wax up, or you do anything in-house yourself, or you leave it to the lab?
I do have a mill in-house for CAD-CAM restorations, and I do a little bit of those, especially in the posterior. Anytime that I do anything aesthetic, I definitely have to have a ceramist working those for me. They have a lot more power to shape match and all that. So, but I do a lot of veneers and
what are you milling? What are you actually milling chairside? What kind of restoration?
Chairside, inlays and onlays, and then crowns.
Okay. Are you doing some composite blocks where you don't have to sinter? You could just mill it in 7 to 10 minutes and polish it up and put it in?
I do. I haven't bought the Midas printer yet. I know it's very popular nowadays. I'm still researching and knowing and learning a little bit more about that one. But I do have some composite blocks as well that I have.
Yeah. So you don't have a 3D printer yet?
I don't have a Midas 3D printer.
Oh, you don't have
the
Midas. Right. The Midas
will... a million 3D for the crowns, right. The one that makes crowns and all that. I have a 3D printer.
Okay. And what are you doing with 3D printing? Are you doing night guards? You're doing models,
night guards? Models, yes. And surgical guides. I do surgical guides. I design my own surgical guides and I print them and myself. I like doing my own surgical guides.
And how did you decide on which digital equipment to buy?
A lot of it was I inherited it from Dr. Dudney. And part of it was just doing my own research and talking to dental reps and seeing and reading and PubMed and seeing research and say, I also am good friends with Nate Lawson at UAB.
Oh, yeah, he's a brilliant guy. Yeah, brilliant
so every
guy.
Time, yeah, he was actually one of my instructors as well. So every time I had a question, I was just emailing him and texting him, hey, what do you think about this particular equipment? Is it worth buying or not? And he would just guide me which way to go.
He's in touch with a lot of the manufacturers, but he's also an expert on materials. He'll tell you all about zirconia and lithium disilicate and all this stuff. So restorative success often comes down to the cementation phase. We all know that, right? So what are some of the key properties you look for in a cement? Let's talk about veneers, for instance. We'll start with that, and then we'll talk about ceramic onlays and crowns. What are you looking for in a cement?
We're looking for, it depends, for example, if we're talking about veneers, we're looking for a light cure cement. We're looking for a cement that has a low film thickness and a cement that is easy to clean and it's stable over time. Like if you do a cement that is going to change over time, that probably is not a good restoration and to have in the mouth, especially in veneers, because veneers show pretty much everything.
So when you say change in color?
Changing colors, yes. Okay. Changing color over time. And there's really good cements out there that pretty much every company manufacturer have a good cement in their portfolio that they can.
What do you particularly prefer and why?
I really like Choice 2 from Visco. So far, it's the cement that I've been using for the past 3 years, and I have no complaints. I have three shades. Let's say if you try in the veneer, you don't like it, you can darken it or line the veneer up and change the color in case you don't like the first trying of the veneer. It's very easy to clean. Choice 2 is one of the best that I have tried so far. Tag cured that cement and it peels up really, really nicely in the gel state. And it's very stable. I've seen, and I haven't been long enough to see probably failures. I haven't been long enough practicing, but I have seen some of Thomas Dudney veneers that have been in the mouth for 30 years. Some of these veneers are actually older than I am, and they're still holding strong.
Yeah.
They're still holding strong. They're doing just fine. And that's what he uses. And that's what I like using as well.
And that's for veneers. And how about crowns and onlays?
For crowns, I change a little bit. I try to look for a cement that has more, depending on what type of crown I'm using. Let's say if I'm using a zirconia crown, I like you doing more like a cement that contains an NDP that has some sort of calcium and fluoride releasing properties and it's got easy to clean, especially when I'm doing implants in the anterior region and I am not doing a screw retain implant. I'm looking for a cement that is, you take an X-ray, you can see it on the X-ray with some sort of radio opacity capabilities. I really like TerraCem. There are a lot of other cements you can use out there. Pretty much every company has some sort of cement with these properties, but the one that I use because I like and I've been using it for 3 years and it works really great in my hands is TerraCem from Visco as well. And the cement is great. The cement, if you use it one time, you probably will fall in love with it. It's really
great. And I talked to you offline and you're a real advocate of the Visco product line. And I guess, you know, every dentist has their favorites, right?
Right.
I don't know whether you use this in dental school or whether your mentor recommended it or you just another dentist used it and you got to use it or however you find out about these cements or materials and see what works best in your hands. But there certainly is a lot of documentation and evidence on the material that Visco makes. There's no question about that. So I've talked to a lot of dentists about the materials they use in their practice. And in large part, many of the dentists feel more confident sticking within one manufacturer across adhesion, cementation, and restorative composite. And the reason for that, mostly what I hear, is the confidence in the company and also the compatibility of the materials. If there's a problem with any of the steps, if the materials come from one manufacturer, the troubleshooting process is easier, especially if there's a customer service person available to talk you through it. Are you doing that as well, staying within the realm of one manufacturer with your materials when it comes to adhesion, cement, and so forth?
There are so many options nowadays that probably every dental rep that brings you an adhesive to you probably will like it because there's a lot of research. There's a lot of technology nowadays that pretty much all companies have really good adhesives. And I do keep it in the same realm of the same company that I use. It's just because I have a great connection with this company and I like what they do. They have great research. I've been to their facilities and I've been to their research department. I actually went there to test them myself. I went there, have videos there of myself testing the products and see what they do. And I was able to do some research with them as well. And I look for an adhesive that have very low film thickness, which is everyone's talking about that today. But think about the one that I use, which is Obon Universal. It has less than 10 microns. even if you get it wrong, there's no way that 10 microns is gonna make your restoration not seat, you know, even if you screw it up completely, you know, it's yeah. gonna you're still gonna be able to seat that restoration. And it's compatible with any systems, because if I use an onlay, I may not be doing total etch, I may be doing selective etch. But if I do a veneer, which is all in enamel, I'm gonna do total etch technique, right? So I cannot be having like three or four systems in house, and I'm a very hyperactive person. I cannot have two bottle systems, so I had to have something that is kept in one bottle, but at the same time does not compromise the outcome of the restorations. And then I've been using Obon Universal for 3 years now. I've seen some of Thomas Dudney's veneers that use this particular bonding agent for over 5, 10, 15 years, and they're still holding strong. And I really like it.
As a 31-year-old dentist who's only been out for 3 years, when you see Dr. Dudney's cases that have lasted 30 years and it's good enough for him, you say, okay, let me try this stuff. It's good enough for yeah. Dr. Dudney. I'll try it. So is that how you got brought into the Bisco world, as far as evaluating some of their products and actually going down to their R&D facility and seeing what they're doing there?
Yes, that's definitely correct. He's actually the one that introduced me to all the Bisco products. And when I started working with him, he said, you're free to use anything. I would like for you to try these products. And man, I fell in love with it. I was used to a different adhesive prior to using Obon Universal. And it's incredible, because when I started using the Obon Universal, you can see it. When you're drying the adhesive, you can see how fast it dries and how good it is when you're handling it. It's pretty good. I like it a lot.
We'll do a podcast 10 years from now, Dr. Abrante, and we'll talk about your success with all this stuff. Because as you said, you have no failures because you've all been practicing for 3 years.
That is right.
So, you know, you're an extremely successful young dentist. I mean, there's no question about it. Very, very impressive. It looks like you have an incredible passion for dentistry. So when you have some free time and you're just thinking about things, how do you see yourself in 5 years? How do you see your practice and the kind of cases you're doing?
Yeah, the main goals that I have in 5 years, other than having more time for family, for sure, is definitely doing more of these cases and maybe starting to lecture a little bit more. So starting to teach other people what went right for me, what didn't go so well, the things that I've been able to do. And I've done a little bit of that already. Last year I did two webinars, and I was able to kind of like, it feels good when you're able to say, hey, you know, this is what worked for me. Don't do this other stuff, and do this. And that probably will be the goal in 5 years from now, being able to teach other dentists and
balance your career with a little teaching and education, which I think is a great service of the profession. I do want to ask you, so you're very clinically advanced. What about the business management part of your practice? You know, there's a lot of things you have to worry about. I don't know what kind of staff you have, but you have HR, you have regulatory with OSHA, infection control, inventory, expenses, and all this other stuff. So how do you manage the day-to-day operations of a practice and also the business end of the practice? Is all of this kind of overwhelming at times and stressful for you?
It's still stressful, I'll be honest with you, especially because I have a 16-month-old, and trying to balance the business with family, it's definitely challenging, and it gets to me every single day. But I enjoy it. And my office is it's gotten a little bit bigger. Now I have two hygienists. I have one full-time assistant, one part-time assistant. And I have one office manager / treatment plan coordinator. And it's gotten bigger. It's gotten bigger by two employees since I bought the office.
Does it keep you up at night thinking you have to make payroll every 2 weeks?
It does keep me up at night still. I still think about that. Yeah. But it's getting better. It's getting better. The first few months were the worst when I dropped the insurances and I said, oh my God, what am I going to say? Am I crazy? What's happening here? Did I do the right decision? Did I not? But you know what? It just went fine. And I think it helped a lot that I didn't have any debt at the time.
Yeah, without a doubt. I'm not practicing right now. And as I mentioned to you, I was an endodontist in Philadelphia for about 15 years before I got into Viva Learning, which I started in 1999. But I will tell you, the decision you made to remove yourself, extricate yourself from the control of insurance companies about their pricing and their compensation was the best thing, I think, that you could possibly do at your age. If you can get by that and deal with that, then everything going forward, you're growing your practice with the kind of patients you want to treat, and they have to respect your practice and respect your services to the point where they have to pay for them, you know? Otherwise, it's not a right fit, like I mentioned, and it'll allow you to do the dentistry you want to do. And I think it has to be financially feasible. It has to work because it's a business, but you also love the dentistry itself. So by combining those two, the only way for that to work together is to rid yourself of the insurance company. And that's what you did. So whatever advice that you got from Dr. Dudley, that was good advice. Absolutely great advice.
Definitely. And I'm blessed. I'm grateful. And I'm very happy how things are going now.
In wrapping up this podcast, and I think we covered it very well, and I appreciate you. You're at a dental meeting right now, are you not?
I am. I am at the American Society for Dental Aesthetics, and I became a member last year, and I pretty much participate every year now. I've been coming here for the past 3 years.
And you learn a lot from your colleagues. Is that something that you value and recommend to others?
Oh, definitely. This is a great meeting to be in. It's very good, and there's a lot of people you learn from here that you get good information from.
Are they mostly dentists your age?
No, actually, yes and no. That's half and half. There's a lot of dentists. There's actually not a lot in between. It's mainly older dentists and a lot of young dentists. We had 26 new members this year, so it's a pretty good meeting, actually.
And again, the group that Dr. Abrante is talking about is the American Society for Dental Aesthetics, so check that out. Dr. Abrante, it's been a great discussion. You're certainly an inspiring young man, and I think dentists that are your age that are looking to accomplish similar things will be inspired by this conversation, and I'm sure there's great things yet to come from you, and we look forward to keeping in touch with you to follow up on your career. Thank you very much for joining us.
Hey, thank you, Phil, for having me, and I look forward to that podcast in 10 years from now.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Thank you very much. Take care.
All right. Take care.